Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday night service at Faith Family Church. It's so good to be back teaching the Word of God. And I just want to encourage everybody to get your Bibles and get something to take some notes, because I'm really, really excited about the series that we're doing about understanding the spirit realm, understanding the world of the spirit. You know, most people, because they've been trained just to focus on what they can see and feel and hear in the natural realm, they know so little about this world of the spirit. And so I want to encourage you to take notes, to study, to pray, and to seek the Lord, to give you understanding, to give you wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and wisdom and knowledge of the realm of the spirit. Before I get into that, I want to encourage everybody about something. You know, with everything that's going on in the world today, the worst thing that you could do would to get into fear, because fear would disconnect you from your faith. You know, without faith, you can't please God. Without faith, you can't really live a life of victory. Without faith, the Bible teaches us you can't receive anything from God. And so you have to know this, that fear is the very opposite of faith. Fear is literally what activates the work of the devil and opens the door for him in your life. You know, as I was thinking about this, I got to thinking about people who are always, you know, want to condition their body. And my wife, you know, she uses the conditioner for her hair. When her hair, or anybody's hair, when it wants to get frizzy, when it wants to curl up, and it wants to do something you don't want it to do, you put a conditioner on it. And the same thing is true about your body. If your body's not shaping up like you want it to shape, you start conditioning your body. You may start walking or working out or doing exercises of other kind. Well, what about the condition of your mind? What about the condition of your spirit? You see, you'll not be able to grasp the things that I'm going to be talking about in the weeks ahead concerning the world of the spirit if you hadn't conditioned your very own spirit. You see, the things that God has made and prepared and kept ready for man, he says he reveals them unto us by his spirit. And it's in the spirit of man where the Holy Spirit lives that we learn, that we receive revelation and understanding. Without our spirits being conditioned, we will be weak-minded, we will be weak-bodied. You know, a lot of people, they're not making it in this world when sickness and disease and plagues and famines and all this thing comes, because they're not prepared. The Bible says that the strong spirit of a man will sustain him during bodily pain and trouble. If your spirit's not strong, then what is it? It must be weak. It must be just barely getting by. But God wants you to be strong. And the only way you're going to get strong is by the word of God. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So if you're not putting God's word first in your life, your spirit will not be strong. You can be born again, but still be a weak Christian. You can be born again and be a carnal Christian, which means to be controlled by your flesh. You can be actually controlled and influenced by the devil, by demons, even though you're born again. But if you're strong in your spirit, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Understand that you are one with him. The Lord Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you. He has given you eternal life. And if you will connect with that union that you have with him, you'll be strong in him and the power of his might. Nothing will be able to defeat you. Now, having said that, I want to get into part two of our series, Understanding the Spirit Realm. Now, last week I read to you from our text, Isaiah 24:21. I want to read it from a different translation, the Amplified Translation. The Bible says, so it will happen in that day that the Lord will visit and punish the host, fallen angels of heaven on high, and the king of the earth on the earth. So, when at the very end times, in the final days, the Bible says that God is going to punish the host, which is the army of the fallen angels of heaven, and he's also going to judge the kings of the earth that are on the earth. Now, the King James Version, if you remember, said the host of the high ones on high. That word host comes from a Hebrew word, tsabal, and it means a mass of persons organized for war. In other words, an army. Jesus Christ is the commander of the host of the angel armies. there is also a mass of people or mass of beings that are not a part of God's army. See, I told you that in the spirit world, there is a multitude of spirit beings. Some of them are good, some of them are evil. Some of the angels of God, some of them are fallen angels that are demonic spirits now. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:12 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, I want everybody to understand this. Paul did not say we don't wrestle. He says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It is time for us to understand the world of the Spirit. It is time for us to understand the source of the temptations and the tests that we face in this life. When you are tested and tempted to sin, you understand this. There are demonic spirits that are working. There are demons that are talking to your mind, trying to get you to put your thoughts on things that are fleshly, that are sensual, that are things of this world and of this earth. The Bible says that if you've been risen with Christ, and you have, if you're born again, you have been risen with Christ to a new life, and the Bible says that you are to set your affection, set your thoughts, set your mind on things above where Christ, the anointed one, sits at the right hand of God. Don't set your mind and affections on things on this earth. You see, you must understand the source of the test and the trials, the trouble that is coming your way. Everything that's going on in this earth has an origin. It has a source behind it. And whether you realize it or not, God is not in control of everything. God is not the source or the origin of everything that is happening in people's lives. Many people, the Bible says, they do stupid things and then they blame God for the mess that they have made of their life. There are others who simply say, well, God is in control, therefore I just must submit to and accept this sickness, this problem, as being the will of God. That is not true. The Bible says that we wrestle against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, we find that in Ephesians 6, verse 12. When he says that we're wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places, I want you to understand that word high places comes from the Greek meaning above the sky or celestial. Celestial is the upper regions of the atmosphere. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 40, he said there are celestial bodies and there are terrestrial bodies. Celestial meaning heavenly or above the sky. Terrestrial meaning earthly. In the Amplified translation, it says celestial bodies are the sun, moon, and the stars. Terrestrial bodies are the men, animals, and plants. Now, Paul said we wrestle against principalities. It is the Greek word arche, pronounced arche, and it literally means a commencement or a beginning of something, the origin of something. Chief, first estate. Jude talks about the angels that left their first estate. Same word is used right there, arche in Jude. Magistrates, rule, and principalities. Now, this word principalities is used both of the angels of God and the demons under the control of Satan himself. He said that we're wrestling against powers. These powers, the Greek word is exousia, where we get the word authority. They have been given authority or delegated influence, jurisdiction, and ability to work and to exercise authority over certain people, certain parts of the human race. And we'll get into that in a little bit. And then he said, we wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this world. I want to break it down for you. The word rulers comes from the Greek word kosmos krator, kosmos krator. It literally means a world ruler. It is a compound word, kosmos krator, coming from, number one, the word kosmos, K-O-S-M-O-S, and it refers to a world order or an arrangement of government. Now, think about that, a world order or an arrangement of government. Friends, if you don't think that the devil, if you think he doesn't want to control the world leaders, then you're blind and you're deceived. He's always desired to do that very thing. We're going to be talking more about that in the days ahead. Why do you think that God told us to pray in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2? He told us to make prayers and supplications and intercession for all men. Why? Because it's the will of God for all men to be saved. And in verse 2, he said to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we can live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. God wants us to be able to live a life that's free from tyranny and terrorism. You see, he says there's a reason. The Bible teaches there's a reason that God wants us to pray for kings and for presidents, to pray for President Trump, to pray for those that are in the legislative body, the executive body, the judicial body of our government. He wants us to pray for them. Why? Because there are demonic forces trying to influence them. Now, the second part of that word, cosmocrator, is kratio. It comes from kratio, and it means to use strength, to seize or to hold, to be the master of. You see, these rulers of the darkness of the world, they want to use their strength to seize and lay hold of the rulers of this world to master them. Now, this word darkness, it refers to the ignorance regarding God and spiritual things. How many of you remember the Bible teaches us, and Jesus had much to say it about it, that we are children of the light. We are the light of the world. We are not in darkness. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. He's talking about you won't walk in ignorance. You won't be ignorant of God. You won't be ignorant of spiritual things. God does not want his people or anyone else to be ignorant. But yet, the devil works to blind the eyes of men to keep them in darkness. He does not want them to have knowledge of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of spiritual things. And so we're wrestling against these rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, this word world comes from the Greek word aion. Aion. It's actually spelled A-I-O-N, and it's pronounced aion. Sounds almost like eon, doesn't it? It literally means an age or a course. Now, think about this for a moment. John the Apostle wrote in his first letter, 1 John 5:19, that the whole world lies in wickedness. One translation says the whole world is under the control of the evil one. The whole world. Everybody say the whole world. Now, when we think about normal, we say the whole world, we would think every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. That is not the case here, because the Bible teaches us that only the unsaved world is under the power of the devil. We are born-again Christians. We are not under his power. We'll talk more about that as well later. Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, speaking of this word, world, aeon, which means an age or a course, he uses this word here in Ephesians 2 and verse 2 when he says, in time past, he's talking about before you were saved, before you were born again, before you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, in times past, you walked according to the course of this world. You walked according to the aeon of this cosmos, the course of this world. Young's literal translation says the age of this world. Now, let me define these words for you. The word course is a process of thought that leads to a way of living and conduct. Think about that for a moment. The course, we walked in times past according to the course of this world. There was a certain process of thinking we had. It led to certain conducts and to a particular way of life. Now, this word age, every child of God, I want you to grasp it. I want you to get a hold of this. When we think about age, immediately we begin to think about, different epochs of time, different periods in time, the age of rock and roll, the age of rebellion, the age of enlightenment. Why do we use that terminology? This word age means a period of time dominated by a prominent feature or a cultural period marked by the prominence of a particular item or a particular way of thinking. Let me say that again. A period of time that's dominated by a prominent feature or a cultural period marked by the prominence of a particular item or way of thinking. A particular item, you say, yeah, how about music? You do understand that the 60s and 70s, during the hippie revolution, that was dominated by the music. Where did the people get this music from? Where were those lyrics coming from? I want you to understand something. There are songs in heaven that God gives to praise and worship leaders and people around our nation. They put music to it, given to them by the Spirit of God right here in our own church. Our praise and worship people are writing songs and singing songs. They hear from heaven. But on the other hand, there are people that are not saved that are inspired by demons. Think about this. Satan himself, before he was known as Satan, he was Lucifer. And the Bible tells us his very makeup was music. Think about that. Music inspires people for good or for bad. Music has a large part to play in the program of God, but it also has a large part to play in the program of the devil. You see, spirit-filled, anointing music stirs up your spirit. But music that comes from the devil stirs up man's flesh. Think about that for a moment. Now, there are certain ages of time we remember reading about in history where people began to think a certain way. They began to listen to a certain kind of music. They began to dress with a certain style, wear their hairs a certain way. It was all based on the god of this world. Did you know that some translation says that Satan is the god of this age instead of god of this world? It means the same thing. You see, what or who is behind a particular way of thinking during a certain age? Of course, it's the devil. You know, recently, I posted something on Facebook because I was watching a reporter during one of President Trump's briefings just a week or so ago, and she actually gave the number of children that are killed by their mothers by elective abortions every day in America. As of today, think about it. As of today, approximately 11,000 people have died from the coronavirus in the United States in the last 67 days, approximately 11,000. But yet, during that same time period, the last 67 days, 2,359 babies were killed. That is 158,000 in the last 67 days. 158,000 babies have been killed on purpose. They had no chance to fight for their life whatsoever. Where's the outcry? Where's the outrage by the ungodly media? Why is it people jumping up and down and having a fit about babies being killed every day? It is a way of thinking for the age that we are living in right now. The age that we're living in is different than the age that I grew up in. I'm 63 years old. When I was 10, 15, 20 years old growing up during that time, you didn't see very many people that were homosexuals. In the town that I lived in, the county that I lived in, we only knew of one. Later, another man came out of the closet. But why? Because it was not the prominent way of thinking. Today, premarital sex, abortion, homosexuality, lesbianism, it is the thought thinking of today. It comes from the devil. The Bible goes on to say in Ephesians 2, verse 2, he said, in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, everybody say air. Now, when you think of air, you're talking about the air you breathe, the air around you. This word air right here, where it calls Satan, one of his titles, the prince of the power of the air. Now, remember, we're wrestling against principalities. He is the prince of the power of the air, and it literally means, if you want to write this down, it'll help you, the atmospheric region. The atmospheric region. And I'll explain more about that later on. The Young's literal translation of the Bible here says that he is the ruler of the authority of the heir. Of the heir. Now, Young also sums up Ephesians 6:12 this way. We are wrestling with the principalities, with the authorities, with the world rulers of the darkness of this age, with the spiritual things of the evil in the heavenly places. You see, the Bible has a whole lot to say about the kingdoms of this world. Much, much. And we're going to be talking a lot what the Bible says about the kingdoms of this world versus the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 4 was being tempted by the devil. He tempted him three different times. And one of those temptations, the Bible says that Satan showed the Lord Jesus Christ in an instant, in a moment of time, all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, bow down before me, worship me, and I will give you all of this power, all of this authority, and all of this glory. In Revelation, the 11th chapter in verse 15, the Bible says, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Now that word kingdom, basilia, it literally means dominion, rule. I mean, you put a lot of different words in there, but understand this. God wants the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to exercise the dominion, the rule, the authority that he intended for us to use against the powers of darkness. You see, the devil's always the desire to be in control of the nations and the governments of the world. In Hebrews chapter 11, that great Hall of Fame chapter, where he talks about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Noah and Moses and everybody who accomplished great things for the kingdom of God. And he says in verse 32, I don't even have time to tell you about Gideon and Samson, about David and Samuel. And then he says, and the prophets. And the prophets, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Everybody say, the prophets through their faith subdued kingdoms. Now this word subdue, it means to struggle against and to overcome. They struggled against kingdoms and they overcame them. They subdued them. It comes from the Greek word katagonizome. Katagonizome. It means to compete for a prize. Now, Paul said, we wrestle against principalities and powers, right? The rulers of the darkness of this world. The wicked spirits in heavenly places. When you wrestle, you struggle. I've never seen two people wrestling that weren't struggling, one against another. When you're wrestling, you're struggling against an opponent, and you want to overcome. You want to win. Now, this word subdue in the Greek literally means to compete for a prize. Friends, we have much to compete for. The devil wants to control the minds of men. He wants to control the souls of men. He wants to control the nations. He wants to control the kings, the presidents, the leaders, those in authority. It's our responsibility to see to it that it doesn't happen. Now think about it. He said the prophets. Daniel was one of those prophets. Daniel was one of those prophets who struggled against and overcame a kingdom. Precisely the kingdom of Babylon. If you read the book of Daniel, you will see four kings talked about. Nebuchadnezzar was the first one. After he had died, along came Belshazzar, his son. Later, Darius, and then Cyrus. But throughout that whole book, when it talks about four different kings who came and went, Daniel remained faithful the entire time. As a matter of fact, Daniel was actually the one who was reigning. Let that sink in. Daniel was the one calling the shots. Daniel was the one who saw to it that the laws of God were carrying out, not the laws of men, not even the laws of the kings themselves. In Daniel chapter 6, I encourage you to go back and read these for yourself because I'm going to skip around some. In Daniel chapter 6, it talks about King Darius, beginning in verse 1. King Darius, he had picked out 120 princes, and he put them in charge over all his kingdom. And then he picked three presidents to put in charge over the 120 princes, and the Bible says, of which Daniel was first. Think about that for a moment. Daniel had special favor. We need to start praying that God would give us favor with him. We do have favor with him, but favor with men. God gave Daniel favor with the kings of his day. Now, the princes, they had to answer to Daniel. They didn't like it one little bit. Verse 3 says that Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was found in him. If you were to be examined, if there was a way that a doctor could examine your spirit, what condition would your spirit to be found in? Would he find an excellent spirit on the inside of you? Would he find one that's faulty? Would he find one that's kind of sick and weakly? One that's defeated? Daniel had an excellent spirit. Now, the Bible goes on to say that King Darius thought to set Daniel over the whole realm. Just like Joseph was set over the whole realm of Egypt during his time, the Bible tells us that the King Darius was thinking about, planning on setting him over his whole realm. Now, go on and read it for yourself and you'll see what I'm talking about. Everybody else was so jealous, they were so upset about what the king was planning on doing, they decided, you know what, we're going to plot, we're going to plan, we're going to find out something, an occasion by which we can bring an accusation against Daniel. But the Bible says they couldn't find anything. It says because he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Don't tell me that we're not to strive for perfection. What if investigative reporters were released into your life, could they find anything, any faults, any errors, any blemishes, anything at all? And I'm sure most of us would say, yes, they would. But forget about the past, because most people's mind automatically went to the past. What about the present? God always speaks to your future. He doesn't speak to your past. Listen, he's not so much concerned about your present as he is your future. He's not so much concerned about today as he is to tomorrow. He wants you to take hold of his word and by faith say, by this time tomorrow, bless God, I'll be totally free of everything that the enemy has thrown at me. Free from every virus, every sickness, every fever, every weakness, every sin, the poverty, lack, everything. That's our God, because we serve a supernatural God. Well, they couldn't find anything. Finally, in verse 5, they said, we're not going to find anything we can accuse him for, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. That's exactly what the evil people of the world are trying to do. And so, think about it. They tricked the king to pass a law. He made a command. He set this decree in law. Anyone who asks any petition of any god or man except for the king for the next 30 days, let him be thrown into the lion's den. Now, read it for yourself in verse 10. The Bible says that Daniel threw open the windows to his room as he had always done in the past. He knew about the law. He knew about the decree. He knew about the punishment of the lion's den. But just like he had always done, he bowed down with the windows open for the whole world to see him. He bowed down 3 times a day toward Jerusalem, and he prayed to God. Well, you know, now they got their occasion. They found an occasion to bring accusation against Daniel, the prophet of the Lord. And so the king, his hands are tied. He's passed a law. He can't back down. And y'all know what happened? If you've ever read the story, if you've been to Sunday school much in your life, you know, I was amazed when I got saved and started reading the Bible, because I hadn't been to church much, hadn't been to Sunday school hardly ever. I didn't know the simple stories that most children knew about Daniel, the lion's den, and Jonah and the whale, and David and Goliath. I knew very little about any of those things. I was absolutely amazed. I was like a little kid when I'd read these things. They threw Daniel in that lion's den. He laid down and slept all night with the peace of God on him. The Bible says that the lions, they couldn't even open their mouth. They couldn't claw him. They couldn't do nothing. I can just see Daniel laying there and using one of those lions as a pillow with his head on him. I'm telling you, God, had put Daniel in control. Daniel understood that he was in control. You got to understand that you're in control. Things are not going to happen unless you allow them to happen. If you'll stay in faith, obey God, do what God told you to do. Don't fear what the world says. Don't be afraid of what man can do to you. Don't be afraid of the devil because he's defeated. Trust God. God will see to it that you come through. The fire, the water, the lion's den, or any other attack. Now watch this. The king, the next morning, he hollers out, Daniel, is your God able to deliver you? Daniel said in verse 12, my God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths that they have not hurt me. Everybody say, no hurt. Well, you know what happened then? All the accusers, they were thrown in. The people that accused Daniel, them, their wives, their children, every one of them were thrown into the den of lions, and they were all eaten. Now, I want to read to you the decree that King Darius made, beginning with verse 26 of Daniel chapter 6. He said, I make a decree, in other words, a new law, that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever. His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. His dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel prospered. Daniel prospered while others didn't. I'm telling you, you will prosper when others cannot, if you will obey God. Now, let's back up to chapter 3 here in Daniel. We're going to stay in Daniel. Because I want y'all to understand that when the writer, I believe was the Apostle Paul, said, through faith, the prophet subdued kingdoms. How much more authority and power do we have today than even Daniel had? Since Jesus died, bore our sins, rose from the dead, he took us with him to the cross. We were crucified with him, buried with him, raised with him. He took us to the throne of God, and we sat down with him at the right hand of the Father. Think about this for a moment. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is sat down at the right hand of the Father far above, far above. You ought to be looking down. Don't look up at the devil. Don't look up at the problems. Look down at them. Understand your seat of authority is the same as the seat of authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are seated with him at the right hand of the Father. Now, in chapter 3, the Bible talks about Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had passed a law commanding everyone to bow down and worship the golden image that he had made. You see, this thing was 90 feet tall. Imagine a gold statue, image, an idol. He wanted, it was an idol of himself, and he wanted everybody to bow down and to worship him. The world wants you to bow down. But listen to this. Daniel had three buddies, three companions, named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when the music was played, they were told when the music's played, everyone has to bow down. They wouldn't do it. They refused to bow down. And the Bible said they went and told the king. The king, he's so angry. So he gives them another chance, and they're telling him, our God's able. You know what? Our God is able. If he is able, he'll deliver us. They knew he was able. They said, but even if he don't, we want you to know something. We're not going to bow down. And because they wouldn't bow down, because they wouldn't bend, guess what? They wouldn't burn either. Because a commandment had been made, anybody that won't bow down, you'll be thrown into a fiery furnace. When they wouldn't bow down after the second opportunity, the king got so angry he commanded them to heat that thing up to 7 times hotter than normal. It was so hot that it literally killed the men who got close enough to throw them in there. They tied them up. Their hands were bound. They literally threw them in there. They fell down, bound in the fiery furnace, the Bible says. And it killed the people that threw them in there. It was so hot. Well, once again, the king, he shows up later, and he looks in, and he called all his people around him, his counselors, and he said, didn't we throw three men in that fire? And they said, true, king. He said, well, let me tell y'all something. I see four people walking around in there with no hurt. Everybody say no hurt. It reminds me of what Jesus said. He said, I give unto you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you or harm you. If you'll walk in your authority, there's nothing the devil can do to hurt you. He can't kill you with sickness. He can't kill you in a car wreck. I'm telling you, the devil can't kill you with a virus or anything else. With long life, God says, I'll show you my salvation. Now, the days of the wicked will be cut short. But you know what, friends? God wants you to live a long, healthy, prosperous life full of peace, full of joy. Now, he said, I see four men walking around in that fire. He said, the fourth one is like the Son of God. Now, that's the heathen king, a king that does not worship God, a king that wants to be worshiped himself, a king who is ruled by the devil, but yet he says, I see four, and the fourth one is like a Son of God. Well, as I was reading it today, it came up in my spirit, he missed it right there. Because if he'd have looked a little bit closer, he'd have noticed that all four of them were walking around like a Son of God, because they all four were. The whole earth is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. God has been waiting for the church to wake up, the body of Christ to take its place, the born-again believer to understand his authority in Christ. We have authority in the realm of the Spirit. What we see happening in the natural realm, the seen world, is nothing but a reflection of what is going on in that unseen world of the Spirit. We must affect the world of the Spirit before we can affect the natural world. We have authority to do that. The Bible goes on to tell us in verse 27 of Daniel 3, they saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor had the smell of fire or smoke clung to them. Now listen to what the king said. The king said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel. There it is again. He sent his angel. Darius said the same thing. They recognized that God sends angels to help his people and delivered his servants that trusted in him. Now everybody get this. And have changed the king's word. Have changed the king's commandment. He changed the king's law. The body of Christ, the people of God, have the very power to change the laws of the land. He said, and they yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Do not worship the idols of this world. Worship only the true and living God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want y'all to understand something. What these men did, it wasn't easy. They were wrestling. They had to wrestle to subdue the kingdom of Babylon. Now, listen to me. If you understand what I'm saying to you, if you get revelation of it, then you'll be able to understand what's happening in our nation today. You'll understand why our president is being attacked so viciously by the ungodly world. They are totally dominated by principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, the demon spirits in the heavenly places. Once again, Daniel chapter 10. The Bible tells us in chapter 10, now he had been fasting and praying. He was seeking God for some answers about some things. A thing had been revealed to him, the Bible says. The thing had troubled him. He wanted some answers from the Lord. And the Bible says in chapter 10 that the angel came to him and told him. Now remember, Daniel had prayed. 21 days later, the angel said, fear not, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart to understand, to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. The Amplified Classic says, I have come as a consequence of and response to your words. Then he said this, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. Now let's back up to verse 1. Daniel said, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Let's talk about a man. Cyrus was a man who was the king of Persia, but Daniel now hears the angel saying, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. How many of you know that king couldn't have been withstanding the angel of God? Listen to me, friend. This was a demonic spirit. The prince of the kingdom of Persia, he withstood me 21 days. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. That's amazing, folks. This prince was a spirit being. He was fighting up in the heavenlies against the angel that God had sent to Daniel. And what that reveals is this. There's a seen realm, a seen kingdom on earth that has an earthly ruler. There is an earthly ruler who rules in the kingdom that you can see on earth, but there's also an unseen satanic ruler in the heavens. And that satanic kingdom, we got an earthly ruler and we have a satanic ruler. Now, earlier, I quoted what John said. The whole world is under the power of the evil one. The whole world is under the power of the devil. The devil rules the world. But Jesus said, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. My kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom of God is not of this world. But yet the kingdom of God, the Bible says, rules over all. The kingdom of God is greater than every other kingdom. When Jesus said, you're in the world, you're not of the world, he wanted us to know that the devil rules over the unsaved world, but not over his people, born-again believers. In Colossians 1:13, Paul wrote that the Father has delivered us from the power of darkness. Thank God, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? The Amplified translation of that verse in Colossians 1:13 says, the Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now listen, we're not wrestling with God. A lot of people think we're wrestling against God. God did not send the coronavirus. It did not come from God. God is not in it. He's not a part of it. We're wrestling with demonic forces according to the word of God. Wicked spirits in the heavens. Now, you need to understand this. There are three heavens that the Bible tells us about. I'm not going to go in great detail because time will not allow me to right now. But I want to point this out to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, most scholars believe that Paul was talking about himself when he said, I knew a man who was caught up into the third heaven. If there's a third heaven, then there has to be a first heaven and a second heaven. The first heaven is the heaven just above us. I mentioned earlier, the atmospheric heaven, where Satan is the prince of the power of that region, the atmospheric heaven, the air. The second heaven is beyond that, out in space, where we see the stars, etc. The third heaven is the heaven of heavens. The psalmist called it the heaven of heavens. That's where the throne of God is. But let me tell you something. There are wicked spirits. There are demons that are in the atmospheric heaven. I want to close with this thought, and then we're going to pick up on it next time. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, when he asked Peter, who do you say that I am? Because he said, who do men say that I am? Some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? That's what counts. Who do you say that Jesus is to you? And he said, you are the Christ, the anointed one. You are the Son of God. And Jesus said, upon this rock, listen to me, Peter was not the rock. Jesus Christ is the rock of the church. He is the chief cornerstone. But he said, upon this rock, upon this revelation that you have, that I am the Son of God, he said, upon that revelation, I'll build my church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church. The Greek word he uses there is ekklesia. It literally means a legislative assembly. The Passion Translation actually says that. I will build my legislative assembly. It's not a religious term. It's a political term, a governmental term. In the classical Greek, it was used speaking of a group of people that have been called out to gather together to make decisions and govern the affairs of a city, the affairs of a state, the affairs of a province. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be the ruling, listen to me, body in the world today. We have those that are called ruling bodies in the world, whether it's the United Nations or whatever. But I want you to understand there is no greater, there is none with more authority and more power than the ruling body of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth today. None whatsoever. And then Jesus gave the keys of governing authority to the church. He said, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Binding and loosing, they are both terms that are used in the judicial system. You can have a binding contract. You can be released or loosed from that contract. These are all judicial terms that Jesus is using here. And he says, you have the power. You have the governing authority of my kingdom to rule in the earth. He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Gates is symbolic of governments. The governments of hell, the governing powers, the power of death, will not prevail against the church. Friends, everybody needs to know we have authority in Jesus' name to overrule things on the earth. Daniel overruled the king's commandment. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego overruled and changed the king's word or his law. And we can override hell's government today. Understand this. We must pray for those that are in authority. We must pray for our president. You say, well, I don't like him. Well, those people don't like you. How many of you would say, well, I don't want those people praying for me because they don't like me? It's not a matter whether you like somebody or not. You better understand that something. God has a throne, but Satan also has a seat of authority. He has a seat of authority. When I say seat, I'm not talking about a chair that he sits in. When God reigns from his throne, it's not just a throne that he sits in that he governs from. It is his position of power. When we talk about the president of the United States, for example, we must understand he does not have a throne that he sits in. He has a desk, he has a chair, but he is in that Oval Office. That Oval Office is symbolic of that power that God has invested upon him. We must pray for him. Why? Because there are principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world that want to influence him, that will try to control him, try to intimidate him, try to get him to back down. Listen to me, friend. When he made a decision to move the United States Embassy into Jerusalem, all hell broke out against him. Others had promised to do it. Others had thought about doing it. Not a one did. But this president had the boldness. Let me tell you why. Because the church is praying for him. We got to pray, God give him wisdom. May Christ be formed in him. Yeah, but I heard him use some language the other day that I didn't like. Have you ever used language that you think that the Lord did it like or didn't like? Would you want people to pray that Christ will be formed in you? See, that's the whole point. We need to pray one for another, that Christ will be formed in us, that we become more and more like Jesus every day, that we can walk as he walked, talk as he talked, live as he lived. We need to pray for our president. But I can tell y'all this much, he's done more to protect the church in the United States than any president in my lifetime. You say, well, do you like him? It's not a matter whether I like him or not. God said, pray for him. God said, pray for him. There have been presidents that I did not like. It doesn't matter whether you like his personality. It doesn't matter whether you like whether he carries himself or his delivery, the way he speaks. God says, you pray. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat or independent. God says, you pray for them. Why? Because what happens in the Oval Office affects your life. It affects your home. It affects your finances. It affects every aspect of your life. Let's pray. Father, as we end this service right now, in obedience to your word, I pray, first of all, for our president. You should pray for kings and those that are in authority. And I ask you, Lord, to protect him and his family. I thank you, Lord, for surrounding him with your holy angels to keep him safe. I thank you, Father God, for blessing him. May you visit with him, surround him with godly wisdom, with godly counselors. Help him to make wise decision, Lord. Impart to him the spirit of wisdom and revelation. May Christ be formed in him. May your Holy Spirit lead him and guide him. May you visit him in the night as he sleeps, Lord, with visions and dreams, as you did those of old, to give him direction, Lord. May he have courage to stand up as he has done in the past, and may he continue to do in the future, to face every challenge and every opposition, that he would do the right thing, that we may live a life of peace and honesty and godliness and continue to prosper as a nation. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. God bless you. We will see you soon.